there's a long tradition of artists covering wars. Winslow Homer, N.C. Wyeth, Howard Brody. But today, in the age of digital cameras and smartphones, you don't see as many illustrators embedded with troops as journalists. Richard Johnson is one. He's a news illustrator and senior graphics editor at The Washington Post. He's currently spending a month embedded with American troops in Afghanistan, reporting and sketching them and the war. He's calling the project Drawing Up the Drawdown. And Richard Johnson joins us. Richard, where are you?
At the moment, I'm at Kandahar Airfield in Kandahar province.
What is it about drawing war in an age when we have so many cameras and so much technology and so much social media, you can zip photographs quickly around?
It's a different way of looking at things. There's a relationship between myself and the people I draw. In almost every instance, I try and draw live. And unlike a photograph, that means I've spent 10 minutes, half an hour, or days with them, getting to know them. Physically, there's something very different about drawing as well. When you take a photograph, you're looking at it through one eye of the lens, and it gives an unreal representation of people. Whereas a drawing, if it's done well, is binocular, and you're looking at it through two eyes. And I think something to do with the confluence of those two things means that it grabs people, especially in a period when people have become almost completely numb to the photography they're seeing, to the point where they're just not reading the stories that are being published anymore.
One of your sketches I saw, it was the inside of a soldier's locker.
It may have been the inside of a pilot's locker. I was on a convoy, which was unfortunate enough that the vehicle in front of mine struck an IED. The standard response to that is fighter jets fly incredibly low and incredibly fast over the convoy. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I eventually tracked him down in Bagram, and I don't know, it was kind of a thank you. I thought I'd draw the inside of his locker there, so he had sort of keepsake. It's not just a locker, it's filled with family memorabilia, pictures from the wife, all kinds of bits and pieces of his life that I got to draw for him.
Yeah, and it's something more than, as you said, being handed a photograph. Now, there's been phenomenal photography coming out of both Iraq and Afghanistan, and photographers who've lost their lives in both places, so we don't mean to diminish that at all, but this is a piece of art that's telling their story. How do they respond to having their portraits done and having, you know, sketches of them at work?
Generally, it follows a set pattern. When you join soldiers, there's instantly a feeling of distrust. Initially, people just think you're a bit silly. You know, you're just some old man with his pencils wandering around a war zone. You really couldn't be more out of place than you are. But a very strange thing happens once you've done the art. Almost everybody that I do the art of, in fact, everybody I do the art of, they all want to get their hands on it immediately afterwards. And I stay in touch with almost everybody I've ever drawn as well. And there's an interconnectivity between them and the people who see it. And there's an interconnectivity for them, I think, through the art, that it attaches itself much more to them. They somehow see themselves much more in it and the stresses and strains they were under at the time.
Well, you share a lot of this on social media, post sketches, and the reporting. And we should say sometimes it's all of a piece. There'll be a sketch, and then you handwrite around the picture some of the conversation that might be going on. It makes the reportage, the words, almost a part of the artwork. You also, at the end of your blog posts, you often encourage people to try sketching their own lives and send sketches in. What have you gotten?
Well, mostly I've gotten responses from soldiers here. Two or three occasions I've sat down and sketched with other soldiers. But the reason I started the blog originally was because I wanted to remove some of the mystique from sketching. You know, I want to encourage people to pick up a ballpoint pen, use a scrap of paper and start drawing, because it's not an inherited skill. From what I can tell, everybody's at war with their own abilities when they're drawing. And if you're a stubborn person, then you'll be able to draw if you're willing to throw away the stuff that's rubbish and keep the stuff that's good.
Were there war illustrators that you followed? I conjure up images of, you know, G.I. Joes. I see sketches from World War II in my mind's eye.
I was introduced to a combat artist whose name was Howard Brody.
Howard Brody.
Listeners may not recognize the name, but if they type in his name into the internet and look at Howard Brody's stuff, they will instantly recognize his portraits of soldiers from World War II, from Korea, and from Vietnam. But I went and spent a couple of days with him, and that was through a connection with Joseph Galloway. He, I think, was the last reporter to fire a weapon in defense of his country, and that was back in Vietnam. Now, Galloway met Brody in 1966, I think, in Vietnam, and he said, "I just thought he was some stupid old man with pencils wandering around the jungle." But 40 years later, Galloway was hired by the company I worked for to be the foreign editor, and I put in an offer that an artist should go to war to cover the conflict in Iraq.
So Joseph Galloway, former war correspondent and now your boss, decides to send you.
And that was because 40 years after Vietnam, 40 years after he thought that Brody was nothing but a silly old man with his pencils, he realized that the artwork that Brody created then held him more and moved him more than any photograph he saw from the conflict from that period. Hmm. I do feel like there are a few of us out here who are working incredibly hard to continue the tradition of war art history, and that it does have a way of pricking people's empathy in a way that other types of media do not.
Richard Johnson, senior graphics editor and news illustrator for The Washington Post, at the Kandahar airport in Kandahar, Afghanistan, on his sketching reporting trip in the country. It's called Drawing Up the Drawdown. Of course, the drawdown's been extended now for a while, but I will post a lot of his work at hereandnow.org. You've got to check it out. Richard, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to come on and talk.
And we just want to note the death of Saturday Night Live cast member Jan Hooks at just 57 of an undisclosed illness. She was part of the legendary cast that included Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman, who hosted a talk show as Frank Sinatra to her bald Sinead O'Connor.
What gives, cue ball? I'm looking at you, I'm thinking 14 in the side pocket.
I can't believe you're talking about my hair with all the bloody starvation and the suffering in the world right now.
Today, John Lovitz said Jan Hooks' church chat with Dana Carvey was one of the best sketches in the history of SNL. Amy Poehler said she first saw Jan Hooks when she was 15 and added that this has been, well, a lousy month for comedy.